Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the Parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the Parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org.
A few weeks ago, I had to run an errand, and I didn't have my car with me, and I was with a friend, and I said, hey, would you mind driving me? So I hopped in a car with a friend, and the car he was driving was a Nissan Leaf. He had just bought it, and it was kind of cool. So I'd seen Nissan Leafs, and I'd heard about them, and I knew some basic information, but I'd never been inside one before. And so I was sitting inside the car, and I heard his story, how he found it, how affordable it was, how far they go on a charge, and how they don't ever have gas. You don't ever have to do emission tests or like get your oil changed or anything. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then just being in the car, he even kind of like revved the motor a little bit and let me feel it. I was like, wow, that's kind of impressive. That's not what I thought. And all of a sudden this light bulb went off in me. And suddenly I went, which many of us have had experiences like this before, I think I want a Nissan Leaf. Now, that might tell you everything you need to know about me personally, because that got me really excited. But that was my moment, and the light bulb went off, and I went, I think I want a Nissan Leaf. So now I start doing research, and I start finding out more information. Sure enough, he was right, and all the stories that I had heard were true. And then this crazy phenomenon happened, which I know has happened to you. Whenever you go car shopping, this always happens. I started seeing Nissan Leafs everywhere. Have you seen that happen in your life? Everywhere. There was one the other day, last week, there was one parked outside my driveway. Like I opened the garage and went, Lord, you want me to have a Nissan Leaf? What are you doing? I see them everywhere constantly. Now, what happened? Did Nissan Leafs suddenly just reproduce and like multiply everywhere? No, absolutely not. They've been, the same amount of Nissan Leafs were there yesterday as they are today. The same amount were there the day before I had that experience, then the day after. But all of a sudden, something changed. Did it change because of information? Did it change because all of a sudden I knew about the value of it and I knew about the information, the technology? No, I knew most of that stuff already. I knew that they were prevalent. I knew why they were important. I knew that they were pretty affordable. Knowledge didn't make that shift happen. Knowledge and information didn't shift my perspective. I had a present experience with a Nissan Leaf and it changed my perspective, okay? Thank you. I'm glad you're chuckling because it's worth it. Now I wanted to see them. And because of that present experience, my eyes were open and I started seeing them all over the place. And so today in our scripture, I don't want you to miss the importance of the first verse John read. And we can skip over it really quickly, but it's really important. John 20, 19 starts like this. On the evening of the first day of the week, so this is Easter Sunday, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. What's happening in this moment? The disciples are terrified because they think they're next. They're the next ones to be hunted down. They're the next ones to go through the same process and go through the same pain, and probably for good reason. And maybe we think, well, let's let them off the hook. Let's kind of have the benefit of the doubt. They were afraid because they didn't know that Jesus was resurrected yet. They didn't know that he had risen from the tomb, but they did. In verses 1 through 18, Peter and John go and run and see the empty tomb. And then later, Jesus actually appears to Mary Magdalene and talks to her face to face and tells her, go back and tell my disciples. And so she runs back and tells all the disciples, hey, I just saw Jesus. And even in verse 8, it says that John saw and believed what had happened. He saw and believed. So the disciples had already had this moment where they realized, oh, wow, something powerful has happened. They believed, they had the right information, but what is up with the fear? What is up with that terror that's gripping them in verse 19? Why aren't they already out proclaiming the good news? We talked about this a little bit last week, that the resurrection is more than just an event. It's more than just a story that somebody tells you and you go, oh yeah, cool, that sounds good. I'll buy into that. It's more than just an event that happened. It's a way of life that happens. It's something dynamic. It's something living and breathing. And the disciples had affirmed the event of the resurrection. They had said, okay, yes. At least John had. We know that John had. But there was no different way of life. That fear was still gripping them. So there's something missing. And over these next 5 weeks, what we're asking is, what does it look like for us as a church, for the parish, to not just acknowledge the event of the resurrection and say, yes, we agree, the resurrection happened. What does it look like for us as a church to be resurrection people? To be people who follow a resurrection way of life today, Monday, Tuesday, every day. And so how we're gonna do that is we're gonna go through our five values as a community, who we are. And they're not just like integrity and quality and those things that we see up on corporate values. These describe our way of life, the way that we want to live in the world. And I think the key to understanding our first value is in verse 19. Because many of us in this room, myself included, just like the disciples, get stuck living in the first half of verse 19. We've got information about Jesus' resurrection. We believe that the tomb was empty. We've heard stories that he was resurrected. We believe in the event, but that's where it stops because it's all knowledge and it's all information. And the information helps us in some moments. And it's very important that we think rightly about the resurrection. But when the going gets tough, we don't need to just think rightly about the resurrection. And we tend to revert back to our old ways of doing things. If information is all we have, we'll just slip back into our old patterns. And we'll be gripped by fear and anger and insecurity and judgment and greed and all these things that have been in us since the day we were born. And it's because information on its own very, very rarely leads to transformation. Information on its own will very, very rarely lead you to transformation until we have a present experience, until there's a Nissan Leaf moment, for lack of a better term. Lord, forgive me for trivializing that. But until we have a present experience, in the second half of verse 19, everything changes and the world turns completely upside down. Why? Because the presence of the risen Jesus walks into the room. And suddenly the information that they had matches up with a present experience and nothing will be the same. And notice what Jesus says when this happens. He says, peace be with you. That in and of itself is revolutionary. I'm not saying fear be with you. I'm saying peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. That's an interesting thing to say right off the bat. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. He's not giving them this huge sermon or lecture. He's not dropping incredible new knowledge on them. He's giving them his presence. He's giving them the Holy Spirit, the indwelling, permanent presence and power of God. Jesus in John 16, a few chapters earlier, was describing what this would be like for them. They didn't understand it at the time, but here's what he said. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, Jesus. And this is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So if you could put together what's happening there, Jesus is saying, I'm gonna give you Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is gonna be with you in every moment. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach you the things that I want to teach you. It's as if I am with you. And not only that, everything that the Father has is mine. And so everything that the Father has is mine and can be given to you through the presence of God in you, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Spirit, in one, dwelling within us. That's powerful. God, who was with them in the presence of Jesus in that moment, is now, from this moment forward, going to be with them permanently in the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit. The disciples weren't transformed by information. They were transformed by the presence of God. And I can't think of a better thing for us to dwell on today, because in our current culture, the last thing we need is more information. Amen? We do not need more information in our lives. Information is constantly coming at us in various forms, and that information is not neutral. It doesn't just wash over us. Nobel Prize economist Herbert Simon said it this way: information consumes the attention of its recipients. It is active. It does something to you. Hence, a wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. You may not know this about yourself. You have a limited amount of attention you can give things in your life. The more information you take in, the less you have to give to God or to anyone else in your world. In our culture, we have a wealth of information, but a poverty of attention. And you know this. Have you ever been to dinner with someone who has a wealth of information but a poverty of attention? Has it been you? Have you sat at that table? Have you seen the table next to you and just completely judged them the entire meal because both people are just sitting here doing this the entire time instead of actually engaging with the human being who's sitting in front of us? I've done it. Have you done it? The next time you walk into a room, especially like a waiting room, just look around and watch what happens. Information, 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 information. No attention. Walk into a room of teenagers and watch what happens. Have you seen that? We have lost the ability to talk to each other because we're consumed with information all the time. We have lost our ability to be present and communicate with people. And we've also lost our ability to talk to God. We don't know how to talk to God anymore. Inattentiveness, that poverty of attention, is a massive problem. And whether you know it or not, it is robbing you of a connection with a God who loves you and who is desperate to connect with you. He wants to talk with you in every moment, in every situation. So as the parish, we don't want to be a church that just adds information. We don't want to be a church that just adds to the noise of what's already coming at us in our lives. We don't want to be an organization that sits in the long list of your Facebook feed and jumps up and down and says, hey, we have great information here. Click on us. We don't want to just be a Christian marketing factory that repackages the information of Jesus in a flashy way and sells it. We want to be a group of people who simply pay attention. That's who we want to be. It's powerful. What if we were a group of people who just pay attention? And so our first value that we're going to work through together as a church is that with God's help, we commit to be fully present. Present. Not brilliant, not creative, not innovative, not this pastor has the most amazing sermons in the world, not informative. Present. Present to God, present to people. Present. Instead of being a place that adds to the rampant information of an information age, we want to be a people who live differently. A people who learn how to experience and follow and carry the revolutionary presence of Jesus. Because when God is present and people are present with him, anything is possible. Anything. And that's what we see in our passage. That the presence of Jesus changes everything. Even Thomas is transformed in this moment. And Thomas gets such a bad rap, you guys. He's doubting. I mean, I think when we get to heaven, he's going to be like, yes, I'm doubting Thomas. Thank you very much. But I think the Lord is so grateful for Thomas and so proud of Thomas. And the faith that is in Thomas is strong and vibrant. And it's the same faith that's in you and me. Because if you remember what he said, listen, I know the information. I've heard the stories. I've heard you say that you saw him, but he didn't show up for me. And until I see him, until I have a present experience with Jesus, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus says, good for you. Good for you. I want you to experience me. And he says, now you've seen me, but plenty of people are going to come who aren't going to have the ability to actually see me in bodily form. And I want them to believe as well. And so you think, well, how in the world does that happen? Because Thomas had someone actually walk through the door. So how in the world are we supposed to interact with the presence of God? Jesus is more present to you and I than he was in that moment because he's given us his Holy Spirit. And now God is always present. Guys, we don't have to share Jesus. Like, we don't have to, like, fill out a calendar and take turns with Jesus each day, right? Like, we don't have to say, okay, well, Adam gets Jesus on Monday, and then I get to have him on Tuesday, and then maybe Dan gets him for lunch on Wednesday. Jesus, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, is with every single one of us in every single moment of every day. The psalmist said this in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God's presence is always near. That's our theme for the week. That's what we're going to be praying about this week. God's presence is always near. Jesus said before he ascended to heaven, he said to his disciples, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do we believe that? That he is with us always? God's presence is always near, and he desires deeply for you to be present to him. Brother Lawrence, such an amazing example of this. If you've never read anything by Brother Lawrence, just go Google it, look it up. Incredible saint. He has this group of letters that were collected and made into this book called The Practice of the Presence of God. So perfect. And he says this in that book, you need not cry very loud. He is nearer to us than we are aware of. You don't have to cry very loud. This isn't something where you have to do what my friend called King Kong worship, you know, where you like hold hands and say the incantation and then maybe you summon the spirit of Kong. That's not what happens with the presence of God. He is nearer to you than you are aware of. George MacLeod, a Scottish clergyman, said this, what most debilitates our prayer life is not bad prayer technique. It is our presupposition that the pressures of life are on one side while God is on some other side. That like, this is real life over here. Jesus, this is sweet and wonderful, but I gotta go to work tomorrow. I have to deal with my kids tomorrow. I have to deal with people in my family who are dying tomorrow. I have to deal with broken relationships tomorrow. And God's over here somewhere. Maybe we see him on Sundays. That's not it at all. God is with us. And if we can get our heads around that, that he is present with us and in everything, it can change our lives. A funny thing happens when we learn to be present to God, to hear his voice and to experience his nearness. When we do that, we become present to others as well. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit onto his followers and immediately tells them, take the Holy Spirit and forgive others. Did you catch that? He says, go. This is not meant to be something that you hoard. It's meant to be something that you share, that you carry, that you embody to the people that you interact with. God's presence is powerful. People who are present to God and present to others change the world. And that's who we want to be. With God's help, we commit to be present. Okay, so that's great. That's our first value, present. How in the world do we do that? Like, how in the world do we become people who are present to God and present to others? We want to know his voice. We want to know that he's near. So in the midst of an information overload world, what in the world do we do? We do the same thing we did when we learned to walk, when we learned to read, when we learned to ride a bike, to do anything at your job, to do anything at your home, you practice. Remember last week, we said that a resurrection way of life happens when God's indwelling power meets our intentional practice. That is so true of presence. Because the Holy Spirit is alive and is within us, whether we know it or not, his power is at work. And through his power, we practice being present to God and to others. We practice. And at first it's tough and it's awkward and it's uncomfortable. And we feel like the little kid that's on the bike with training wheels and it's rocking back and forth and we're crying and tears are streaming down our face. And it might be a little strange. But we all feel like that. We all need training wheels. We all need a little push. We all need a hand for balance. We're all gonna fall and scrape our knees a little bit, but little by little, we start to go farther and farther until one day we might be able to quiet the noise of our lives and see God show up in prayer, in worship, in our work, with our kids, in our family, in the face of the person sitting across from us, what would that be like in your life? For you to step into whatever you've got to step into tomorrow and have the ability to quiet the noise and go, God is with me. I know he's with me. I know he's here. I don't want you to be a part of the parish so that you can meet God on Sunday mornings. Hear that clearly. I don't want you to be a part of our church so that you can meet God on Sunday mornings. I want you to be a part of the parish so you can meet God everywhere, in every situation, with everyone. What if that could be true of you? What if you could know the presence of God? What if you could learn to discern his voice and his words and his encouragement and his nearness? What if you could be present to the people around you, fully present? What if you could be part of a community that is committed to being fully present, to showing up no matter what? That's our dream. That's what we want to see happen. But it takes practice, and it's time for us to practice together. So I want to challenge you this week to practice with us. For 5 days, we're going to do a few different things where we practice what this feels like. And for some of us, we're going to get on the bike and ride and just go. And for some of us, it's going to feel weird and we don't really know how this works. But we're going to study scripture and we're going to meditate on God's word and take some time and actually let it kind of soak for a little bit. We're going to worship on our own, kind of scattered throughout this community. We're going to have some moments of worship. And we're going to take some time just to listen, to be still and to listen. And you may not have a grand revelation this week. You may not have a moment where all of a sudden God splits the heavens and Jesus walks through the room just like he did for Thomas. But you might catch a glimpse or a glimmer or a tiny hint that God is present and that he wants to be available to you. He wants to connect with you. That's my desire for you, because God's presence is always near and he wants you to practice being present with him. The parish, our desire is to walk in a resurrection way of life, and it starts by learning how to be fully present.